Hey guys, welcome to Teenage Dirtbags, the podcast.
Welcome.
We are a podcast that rates and reviews teen movies, and sometimes we relate them to our own teenage lives. And my name is Maddie.
My name is Carly.
And we are friends.
We are roommates. We are friends. We are roommates.
We are lovers.
Well, we are lovers, but not in a physical way. Unless we have too much to drink, am I right?
Jesus. You'd think this was another episode that we were high or something, but
no,
it's not.
We're not. It's against my morals and ethics.
Oh, the last episode would say different. So this week we are doing a classic for us. But before we get into that, what do we got to talk about?
Okay, let's preface here. Okay, well, Halloween happened.
Halloween happened.
It was a good Halloween. We only got like 15 kids.
Barely, yeah. We didn't get many people at all.
I don't know how we ran out of candy.
Well,
like, Mike was giving out like 6 pieces each.
Yeah, I know how we ran out. It's because I ate it all.
And there's that.
I felt very sick.
It was raining. I felt bad for the kids. But we had a good time. We watched Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And it was enjoyable.
It was really good. And then this weekend was
a very
big day. So it is now the countdown to my wedding. We're now in the month of my wedding.
Yes.
And this weekend was my bridal shower. And we won't get too much into it, but I want to just say a very special thank you to everyone who was there and part of it, because I knew it was happening, but I didn't know anything about it. And it was Harry Potter / England themed.
Mostly Harry Potter.
No, Harry Potter. But I only say that because there was cucumber sandwiches.
Oh, I see.
And it was tea and crumpets.
Gotcha.
And scones. And it was amazing. And like, my mother-in-law handmade 30 wands for everybody. Carly was wearing a Gryffindor shirt. Everyone had little golden snitch. Oh my God. It was so fun.
It was so amazing, the detail that your friend Kat put into it. It was honestly awesome.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
And I just want to say, so I made a point of being obnoxious to Maddie's friends from childhood, saying that I was going to win the quiz of who knows Maddie best.
Right.
So I was like, honestly, guys, I know you've known her whole life, but I'm going to win. And they were like, well, we've known her a long time. And I'm like, well, we'll see. I won.
She did. You won.
I won by 1 point, yeah, but still.
Yeah, you did win. It was very funny. I mean, we do live together and it's been a year of us living together. But yes, that being said, I've also lived with other people.
But you know what? Truthfully, I think the reason why I won is because of this podcast.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
This podcast is essentially us getting to know each other in a weird way.
Yeah.
Even though we're already friends, it's like I learn about you every episode.
Oh, 100%. Well, one of the reasons, and I'm speaking for myself here, that we started this podcast was because when we were living together in the early days before, I mean, I think you had said something a long time ago, like we should do something like that. But the reason that it kind of got pushed forward was because we lived together and we would sit downstairs and talk about the most mundane. We could talk about wallpaper for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day we would talk about wallpaper again entirely differently for another hour and a half.
It's true.
And this is much like this podcast. It's like we're talking about wallpaper. That's how boring it is for everyone. Anyway, my point is that we could just find things to talk about and make each other laugh.
Yeah.
So I want to make a point. So let's get into the movie. The movie we are watching today is called, what is it called, Carly?
Okay, well,
this is what I want to point this out, because this is a controversial subject for the two of us here.
So I put at the top of my page, apologize about the,
mm-hmm.
So last episode I made fun of Maddie like an ignorant slut and said, it's called Princess Diaries, not The Princess Diaries.
Like, I thought it was your favorite movie. You don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, no, I was pretty obnoxiously rude. And it is called The Princess Diaries. I looked it up after the episode came out and I was like, oh shit, I look like a dick. And I was.
And I felt very good. I felt very good about myself.
You didn't even double check. I had to tell you that I was wrong.
Well, I trusted you. That's what I have to say. I trust you.
I know.
And then you came. You're honest. I'm trustworthy. No, that's wrong. I'm trusting and you're honest.
Well, I'm being honest right now. I apologize.
Thank you.
For demeaning you in a moment of excitement.
And vulnerability.
And vulnerability.
I appreciate your apology. I accept it.
Okay.
We can be friends.
All right.
So anyway, we're watching The Princess Diaries. So I will do the facts. So it's called The Princess Diaries.
Great.
It is rated G and it came out. I know I'm not doing it in the right order that Carly does, but that's too bad.
That's fine.
The release day is August 3rd, 2001.
Great. I was just a tiny little 11-year-old girl living in a lonely world.
It's directed by Gary Marshall. The writers are Meg Cabot. She wrote the novel. And Gina Wendkos did the screenplay.
Fantastic job, ladies.
Freaking amazing job. It stars Julie Andrews, Anne Hathaway, Hector Elizondo, Heather Matizzaro, Mandy Moore, Caroline Goodall, Robert Schwartzman, Eric Von Detten. I could keep going. There's a lot of people in this movie.
There is.
I was going to say, like, when is this main cast stopping? But I think that's probably it.
That's good enough.
That's a lot of people. I'm sorry. I named
Sandra Oh is in this?
Sandra Oh is in it. Although I noticed in the credits, she's like the second last person named because it's a very small role comparatively. That's rude, though.
Sandra Oh for crying out loud.
Oh, hey, man. And this is the log line. Mia Thermopolis has just found out that she is the heir apparent to the throne of Genovia. With her friends Lily and Michael Moskowitz in tow, she tries to navigate through the rest of her 16th year.
I hate that log line. It's
not
terrible
a very good
log
line.
They mention Lily and Michael, but they don't mention her grandma?
Right.
That's
or like
terrible log line.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Her grandma should be mentioned in the log line. She's like the main part of it.
She's Julie Andrews, for Christ's sake. So have you seen this movie before?
Yes, I saw it, not in theaters, but I saw it soon after it was released on DVD. I stripped that little Velcro piece off the wall at Video 99. I rented that bad boy, and man, oh man, I gotta say, I probably watched it 400 times. I love this movie.
It is so good. I have the soundtrack. I also have the DVD.
You never know. It's not like you knew every word to every song.
And the thing is about this movie, and I'm gonna say this up front, I genuinely have seen this minimum 20 times. Minimum.
Probably same.
And I'm speaking for you then in the case as well. The lines are still funny.
Yeah, it's well written.
Like, the lines still make me laugh.
It's not only that just like a great idea for a movie, it's so well written, so funny. I love movies that are wholesome and charming, but like adults can watch because they have these little jokes here and there that are more for the parents than the kids. It's like a Pixar movie, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just so good, and it made me laugh so much when we were watching it this time around.
Okay, the first thing we have to talk about is her bedroom. First of all, the whole house that Mia and her mother live in. Mia, played by Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
They live in a fire hall.
A refurbished fire hall.
It's so cool.
It's literally, so she lives in the tower.
Yes.
And it's like, literally...
You either can go up to her bedroom through twirly stairs. Okay, well, you can only go up through the twirly stairs. But to go down, you have the option to go back down the twirly stairs or go down a fire pole.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best.
It's absolutely the best. And, like, it's this huge open concept, like, loft. Oh, it's so gorgeous. And that's one of my notes as well, how amazing it is.
And her mom's an artist, and she's always, like, painting in the main area.
Her mom always reminded me of my mom.
I could see that.
Not really in personality necessarily, but just the fact that she's constantly wearing painted overalls.
Yeah.
And like her hair is half up
in
a clip being held there very slightly.
Yes.
It's all falling down.
I could see that for sure.
I want to bring up really quickly the opening song is Bow, 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 Wow, 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 which is I'm Supergirl.
Keep going. Sing the chorus.
Oh. I'm Supergirl, and I'm here to change the world, and I want to know who's going to save me. And by change the world, I just realized it's save the world, not change the world. But anyway, I used to love that song. There was a part of my life where that was my number one favorite song, and in grade, I want to say, well, it would have been whenever this came out. So 7, 6 maybe.
Okay. I was in grade 6. So you were in grade 7.
So in grade 7, I locked myself in my room. This is before Netflix, people, and before cell phones. I locked myself in my room for 2 days and made a choreographed dance to this song.
By yourself?
By myself. With a chair. There was a chair I'm fairly certain was involved, because this is the time of Britney Spears, right? So you're using the chair where you're like flipping off of it and stuff. Well, not flipping off of it. I obviously was not doing that. But like sitting backwards on it and then twirling it. And, you know, it brings me back the second the song plays. Like, it just makes me want to go, oh.
I would pay hundreds of dollars for a time machine to be created and for me to go back in time just to watch you practicing your dance alone in your room.
I would do the same because I clearly have no memory of what that dance is. I would love to remember it, but it's just not possible. And I'm sure I was wearing a pink shirt with very baggy pants, probably cargo pants.
Probably.
And probably wearing a short sleeve shirt over a long sleeve shirt, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good.
Probably
anyway.
Some bangle bracelets.
Oh, 100%.
A choker.
And I will also say, I know what house we lived in at the time, because we moved a lot, like I've mentioned. And at this, I can picture the bedroom, and I can picture the walls, and they were bright pink with black. My mom let me write in black paint right on the walls.
That's very cool.
But they said, like, friends and like be weird, and like a tic-tac-toe was on the wall and stuff like that.
So here we've got Mia Thermopolis. She's got these crazy curly hair, glasses, really, as your grandma calls them, bushman eyebrows.
It's frizzy hair.
She's clumsy.
She's very clumsy. And that's a quick trivia I want to note before we get into this movie, is that almost everything that was clumsy in this movie was Anne Hathaway just fucking up.
Right.
So when she falls, fast forward, when she falls in the bleachers, that was an accident. When,
'cause that looked like it really hurt when she falls in the bleacher.
Oh, God, it looks like it hurts. And there was at the dinner, one of the fancy dinners, she lights a guy's arm on fire by accident, which that was obviously scripted. That would be an issue if it wasn't. That was scripted, but it was supposed to go out in the bucket of water, but it didn't. So Anne Hathaway panicked and threw water on it. And that wasn't supposed to happen. So just like little things like that. There's another one where, she got the part because she fell off the chair in her audition.
Oh,
stuff like that. So
really?
She's very clumsy. That's, and the character is very, very clumsy.
So how we meet her character is she's in like her debate class, and the love of her life, Josh, is debating that they should not have uniforms at the school anymore. And everyone loves him and is cheering for him, and he thinks he's hot shit. And then Mia goes up, and she can hardly get a word out because she's so nervous, public speaking, and then she runs away and barfs.
Right. So they're all like, Mia, bulimia, or like, it's really horrible.
Yeah, they make like pretty dark jokes considering it's a Disney movie.
So she's very awkward, and she finds out, her mom says to her, hey, your grandma called.
Yes.
And she's panicked because she's like, my grandma's dead. She's like, no, the living one. And it's her dad's mom, who she hasn't seen in years.
I'm very confused. Can you please explain to me? I'm very confused about this family dynamic.
Okay.
So her dad is not in her life because he's dead, but he's only been dead for 2 months. So did they have like a relationship throughout her life, or was he an absent father?
From my understanding, so Mia's parents, her mom and her dad, met, fell in love, got married.
Yes.
And had Mia.
Right.
However, he was given a choice. Maybe this is before they got married, I'm not sure, but he was given a choice. He could either continue being royal or be with her.
Okay.
And he chose being royal. So they divorced or broke up or whatever. And he was still present in her life, but he lived in another country. So he still called her on birthdays, and he was still around and still wrote her letters and still visited. But they were divorced and they were not together.
It's a pretty flaw. It's quite the plot hole, though, because how does Mia not know that he's a prince? And how does she not know he's like ruling a country?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? And like, how come she has never visited him at his palace?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, it feels like he's basically, There's no way around it. He's a pretty awful dad. Like, I'm sure I'm sure he's a fine human being.
Well, he chose being royal over...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do have a thing where he didn't want to let down his country. Okay, fine. But
right.
he still did chose that over his wife and child.
Yes. So he's not the greatest guy.
No.
So that's why it seems strange that they're like, Lily's like, oh, is this about your dad? He's been dead for 2 months. Like, shouldn't you be over it by now? Which is like a terrible thing to say. But at the same time, it's like if she never really saw him, it's like confusing.
Well, so that's my favorite line of the entire movie as we laughed and cackled after that. I don't want to skip by that just yet because she is kind of being weird. She wants to go see this grandma. So this grandma's in town and she's being asked to go to tea. And she's like, I've never met this person. Like, why would what does she care about me now? They're scootering around or something. And Lily says like, oh, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, you know. Something, whatever, and Lily's like, is it your dad? Come on. It's been what? And you are ready to her to say...
Like 5 years.
5 years or 2 years? And she goes, it's been what? 2 months? Aren't you over that yet? And we're like, pardon?
I know.
It's like, just visited back to the Scream episode where we're just like, what do you mean are you over that yet? Why are you confused that she's upset?
Yeah.
Because even if you're not close, I mean, I can't speak for this. I don't know, but... Presumably, even if you're not close to your father and he passes away, in 2 months, you're still going to be maybe not upset and day to day is ruined, but it's still on your mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's kind of funny because the movies that I write, like these Hallmark Christmas movies, they're always like 37-year-old adults who are still devastated by the loss of their dead parent when they were like 15.
Right.
Like that would be the right time to be like, it's been 15 years. Like I think it's time to move forward. You know?
Right. You're now an adult. You're in a different stage of your life. This is, oh, you were 15 and now you're 15 still. Because it's been two months. So anyway, she goes to visit the grandma at her San Franciscan embassy.
Yeah, we don't know what this house is because the grandma lives in Jehovia or whatever.
Genovia! As if you just called it Jehovia.
Okay, whatever. And this grandma all of a sudden has a mansion in San Francisco. I'm confused. What?
Right, but it's gated and there's a front desk. So it's, and they do address it later on, way later on in the final party. They say something about that this is the Genovian embassy.
Oh, really?
They do. They bring it up really quick.
Oh, that makes sense then.
But I also... I find it hard to believe that there's just a Genovian embassy because I understand there's a Canadian embassy. There's maybe an Irish embassy, but some tiny little country in the middle of nowhere that doesn't really exist isn't going to have an embassy in San Francisco.
Also, like, that seems very convenient for her dad to be like, how about I just like stay at the embassy in San Francisco where my wife and child are?
Yeah. And I'll still like be involved in the country because the embassy is here.
Yeah. I'll still fly out every month.
Right. Nope. Didn't work that way. Because clearly it's livable because that's where the queen lives.
I know.
Well, I mean, for this, not all the time, but for this portion, yes.
Okay. So when she visits her grandma in the mansion, she walks in and there are butlers. And a thought crossed my mind. Are butlers real?
What do you mean?
I've never seen a butler before. Like, do you think they're real? Or are butlers just hired people that serve food at weddings and stuff
you
sometimes?
You know what?
Like, what is a butler?
I don't know. I've never seen one. I kind of figured that they were like a thing of the past.
Right.
Or a thing of
like
Richie
Downton
Rich.
Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Richie Rich.
Right. But like if you are like people that live on like the bridal path, do they have butlers?
Not that I know of.
They probably have like a maid.
Right. Maybe like a nanny or a housekeeper.
A butler feels like they live at the house.
A butler to me is somebody who stands very straight and is always an old man who's balding. And
you're just talking about Albert from Batman.
Well, there you go. But who has a tray in one hand and a napkin flung over his other arm.
Right. And always the bow tie.
Always. And is in a penguin suit.
Do you imagine that they live with the people? Or do they go home after?
No, I think they... I'm not sure. I don't know.
If anyone out there knows of a real life butler, contact us.
Please tell us. Where do they live?
Do they live underground?
Are they always called Alfred?
Do they feel called to be a butler?
Do they exist in real life?
That's really what I want to know. Okay, so then we get to Mia meeting her grandmother, who is Julie freaking Andrews, the one and only, the stunning, the revolutionary, the one of a kind.
Julie Andrews. I think you already said her name, so I don't know if that worked, but yeah. Whatever.
Mary Poppins, Sound of Music, come on. She even went through a phase where she decided she didn't want to be wholesome, and she did a few movies in the nude.
What?
You can look up Julie Andrews naked if you want.
Great.
I personally don't want to. To me, Julie Andrews is an angel from above. I don't want to see her little boobies. Or big. I don't know. It's hard to know.
You wouldn't know. You've never seen.
I've never seen her naked.
Right.
Back in the backyard during a over tea, she reveals to her sweet granddaughter, Mia Thermopolis, that she is, in fact,
a princess of Genovia.
You are a princess.
I love how she says it. Yeah. Princess of Genovia.
You are, first and foremost, my granddaughter, but you are also a princess.
And then Mia goes, shut up. And then it's this whole hilarious joke. I remember that being... like, it was wild how funny that was.
It still is funny because then the butler whispers into Grandma's ear and goes, this is what kids say nowadays. It means, wow, gee whiz, golly wally.
Golly wally. That's right.
That's such a good line.
Oh, man, it's just so good. Anyway, so she finds out she's a princess. She obviously freaks out. And she basically has to decide whether she wants to go through with being appointed a princess of Genovia, mm-hmm. or not, obviously.
Yeah.
And she has to do this by, what is the
it's
thing?
It's like she decides that she's going to go through all the princess training, and then at the big grand ball, she's going to make a speech. She doesn't know she has to make a speech at this point, but she has to make a speech at this ball to say whether she accepts the role as princess or whether she has rejected it.
Right. So she goes through all the training where she learns how to cross her legs or to not cross her legs.
Yeah, all the etiquette
how
stuff.
How to walk, how to do this.
How to wave.
That. And she does the makeover, which is one of the most classic makeover scenes, this one in particular.
My gosh. Before we talk about that, I just want to quickly point out that she freaks out at her mom after this and is like, what? My family is royalty. My dad was a prince. My grandma's a queen. How could you have never told me? And the mom is like, well, you know, I just thought it would be for the best.
Right.
I know this is such a trope in these movies where the parents are like, oh, I just hid this huge thing from you. I just thought it would be best. But like, Mia is so in the right for being mad. Like, if my mom had this huge secret that she kept from me and they're supposed to be like best friends, I'd honestly, like, I would have trust issues after that. I'd be like, I literally have been lied to my whole life about why dad is never around.
The reason my parents divorced is because of something I was lied to about.
I had a grandma that I could have been really close with.
Yeah. I could have been visiting foreign countries and having, whether you don't have to be, maybe you're not a princess, fine. Maybe you don't get appointed princesship, but you could still be experiencing a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, she could have had her whole life to try and decide whether she wanted to be a princess.
Instead, she has like 2 weeks.
She has like a month.
Right. So
both of her parents suck.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So her dad dies, and then 2 months later, she has to decide suddenly whether she wants to be a princess or not.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
It's insane. But I understand sometimes when you write, you got to make these plot holes, just pass by them.
Right.
But, yeah, it's insane.
However, the best makeover scene, one of the best makeover scenes in the history of movies comes
iconic.
Out of it. So good.
I honestly can't think of a better one. I really can't.
No, this one is very, very good. It's so
it's way better than She's All That.
God, yeah, for sure. This one's amazing. Like, so the brush breaks in her hair because it's so frizzy. She's like gets her eyebrows plucked. He breaks her glasses in half. Everything's just so
the Bushman eyebrows.
Everything is so good, and she gets the reveal. Is so good.
Let's talk about it.
So they've got two pictures of her, which look like she got punched in the face right before the picture was taken.
Yeah, she does.
And they're covering her face. And one lady is on, it's each, there's two ladies there. And they're each holding a different picture in front of her face.
Yeah, they look like fembots or something.
Exactly. And they're holding the picture and they reveal. And Julie Andrews goes, ooh, and everyone's so excited. And then Mia Thermopolis turns around and looks in the, she hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And she looks and she's like, oh my gosh. And it's so beautiful. She looks really good. But I also think that she looks amazing before.
I know. That's the problem. Like, nowadays, people are hesitant to do makeover scenes because it's basically saying, like, you're not worthy of being anything if you're not beautiful, which I do not agree with. But man, oh man, makeover scenes are so much fun.
I know, they're so good. But truly, I'm being serious. Her hair before is way better.
She's adorable before.
No, no, I'm not saying she's adorable. She is. I'm talking about her hair specifically is incredible before. It's a mop it on her head. I would kill for that hair.
Honestly, it's great hair. But when I see hair like that, I'm always just like, there's probably like it's just so thick and so frizzy. I was like, there's probably like bugs crawling around in there.
All right.
Jeez. Yes, I remember watching this scene. I remember watching this movie with my cousins. My cousins only owned like two movies, Princess Diaries and what is that movie called with Lindsay Lohan and Tyra Banks?
Oh, Life Size.
Those are the only two movies we ever watched. Anyway, I remember watching this at my cousin's house, and my cousins, they're like revealing her. I remember my cousin, he must have been like 12 at the time, and he was just literally like, whoa! Like, I think he like got his first boner. He was literally like, she is so hot. And I was like, like, it was such an intense reaction to the reveal.
That's hilarious.
Made it really fun.
I just looked back at one of my notes that I wanted to bring up quickly. So before she gets this makeover, she's like, we've kind of pointed out, she's super awkward and clumsy and everything. And in gym class, she is playing baseball.
Yeah.
And she's playing the catcher. And the gym coach is up to bat. And of course the pitch comes through, and Mia drops it or doesn't even catch it. She grabs the ball and the coach goes, it's okay, just throw it back to him. And this coach, I mean, is stupid enough to not be wearing a helmet. But anyway.
Yeah.
And Mia throws it and it hits like within 1 foot.
Smokes her in the face.
Smokes her in the head.
Well, in the head, yeah.
And this just brought me real back to my high school days.
Yeah.
Because something very similar happened to me
really?
In a way. So I was on the softball team, and we were for whatever reason, it was pouring rain or something, and we had to have practice. And so we were doing it in the gym. So, but it was just, like, you wouldn't have been hitting the ball too far. Obviously, you're just in a gym, so you were just practicing little things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up to bat, and we had three coaches. Two of them were young-ish. They were like 40 or whatever. They were the math teacher and the science or some shit. And then this other man who was retired, but he used to be a teacher there, and he came back to help with practices because he loved playing baseball or whatever.
Yeah.
So he was quite old.
Yeah.
He was genuinely about 68.
Yeah.
And he was pitching. And I hit the ball, and it smacked him in the stomach so hard, and he like keeled over.
Oh my god.
And I of course froze, and I was
how
like,
how old are you?
This grade 12, so 16.
Oh, so you
or
actually
17.
Like, why were you playing that in the gym?
Because I just said it was like raining or something.
I know, but that's dangerous.
I don't remember. But anyway, I felt so horrible. This man, he's so funny. He was very funny. He got up and he went, do not apologize. That was a good hit. But he was like, gosh, do not apologize. And he's like, you should be running right now. Like, you should be running the bases. And I was like, I'm sorry. But I just about killed the guy.
Oh my god.
It was, but he was so funny. He was such a good guy. Anyway, so I just, that brought me back.
Wow.
To when I almost killed a teacher.
Wow. That's quite the story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any baseball stories. I mean, I've been smoked in the shin playing softball. I remember actually once my dad in the backyard, he, you know, classic, playing catch with your dad. Mm. And my dad, he got a little too, you know, confident in my abilities, which is a mistake. And he, like, whipped the ball at me. And at this particular moment in time, the sun was going down and it was shining through the trees into my eyeballs. Oy. So I was squinting. I could not see in front of me for this 1 second that my dad threw the ball. Just smoked me.
Yeah.
Smoked me. And I was like, okay, I'm not into sports. And I'm going to go watch Arthur.
Baseball is actually, I mean, I know it's such a boring sport. Nothing happens. It can be, you can't not wear a helmet. But I remember when I was younger and I played baseball outside of school. And I remember, I think it was my cousin. We were playing. We were much younger. Much younger. We were probably like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's not really official positions. You're all just kind of like, you're in the field. Yeah, the new bunch are in the field or whatever. And I'm pretty sure I was in the field with my cousin and a ball was hit out to the field and it was rolling and she like threw her mitt down to grab it and it rolled up and smacked her right in the nose and she was gushing blood. Yeah. She never touched a baseball again. Yeah. And it's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough. I love baseball so much. I love playing baseball. I love watching baseball.
What's your favorite position to play?
My favorite is second base or first base.
Wow.
But I kept getting, I was good at being catcher. I didn't like being
Batting.
Though.
That's it.
Oh, I love batting, but that's not a position.
Right.
Yeah. I also like the outfield. The outfield. Because then you catch the fly balls.
Yeah. I've never caught a fly ball in my life.
You've caught a ball or two.
Well.
I'm sure.
I wasn't in the outfield during those times. I was at third base. Get it?
Dang, that's good.
Shit, that's good.
Damn, that was good.
Okay, let's go through some characters here. We got Lily, her kooky friend. I love Lily's character. She can be annoying. She can be funny. She can be irritating. She can be loving. She's like a real human.
Yeah.
She's pretty, jealous.
Yeah, oh, she's incredibly jealous.
She's really mean about the makeover, which is interesting because in most movies, you would never have a moment where you're against the best friend. Usually, you love the best friend of the protagonist. But in this scenario, it's very realistic. Lily is very jealous of Mia looking very pretty all of a sudden, getting a lot of attention all of a sudden, and it's very realistic.
Very realistic, and she's jealous. She admits to it. She says, I'm jealous.
Later on.
On, of course. But it is very realistic, and she's quite annoying. I remember being like, I don't like this character because she's annoying, which is a reason I like the character.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's realistic.
I know. It's
in a way.
Only certain people could have pulled that character off because she says some pretty mean things in this movie that could have been like, oh, this friend is brutal.
Right.
But for some reason, you still love her. Yeah, she calls her like a sellout when the makeover is revealed. They pick her up in the limo and she's like, you look ridiculous.
And one thing I guess we should mention is Lily and Michael, this other guy. So Lily, her best friend, has a brother who Mia is also friends with, but he clearly is enamored by her.
Very in love with Mia.
Yeah, and he's working on her car because she's just bought a Mustang. So he's helping fix that up for her. And he's for free. And he's clearly not like pining over her. He's not actively doing anything about it. He's very smitten, but he never asks her out and she doesn't reject it. He does later, but it's not like he's this creepy guy who is following her around.
Like Harvey and Sabrina.
Right. He just kind of admires her from afar. It's his sister's best friend.
Yeah.
You know, an innocent
crush. I
assume
in this scenario that he's probably a year or two older than them.
I think so, but what do I know?
And yeah, he plays in a band and he plays the keyboard.
Now, so Robert Schwartzman, who plays Michael.
Yeah.
I loved him.
Yeah, I wasn't that into him.
I loved him. This character, I was so into. I was absolutely so in love with him.
I'm not really into mopey characters. He's kind of mopey, isn't he?
He's mopey. I also just looked, and apparently he's Jason Schwartzman's younger brother.
Wow!
Which makes complete sense to me.
It doesn't to me. They don't look anything alike.
Oh my god, I think they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman is like sort of funny looking.
Yeah, but I get it.
Okay. Well, I'll have to see them side by side.
So Jason Schwartzman is also in a band. And
makes sense.
Robert Schwartzman is in a band called Rooney. So when I found that out in real life, that he's actually a musician in a band called Rooney, I became obsessed with Rooney.
Yeah. Okay. So I love Rooney too, but I can't think of any songs right now.
Me neither.
Oh man. That's kind of annoying.
I know. I
love
them.
They had one pretty famous
song.
They
did. Mm-hmm.
So eventually Michael, the character Michael, asks Mia if she would like to come see his band play on Saturday.
Right.
She accepts the invitation.
She accepts. So then Lily, the best friend, asks her to be on her cable show where she interviews people. It's called Shut Up and Listen.
Yeah.
And
it's very much something that we would have done in high school.
100%.
Yeah.
And she says yes. It's on Saturday.
Yes.
As a quick side note, Heather Matizzaro, who plays Lily.
Love her.
Love her. She has a podcast in real life called Shut Up and Listen.
I love that fact so much.
I know. It's amazing. It makes me so happy.
I don't even know how to react. I love it so much.
So then Josh comes along, who is the cool dude that she is in love with. And he says, hey, will you go to the beach fling or whatever it's called with me? It's on Saturday.
Did you ever watch the live action version of Leave It to Beaver?
No.
Oh, in the 90s?
No.
Okay. Eric Von Detten or whatever his name is in it. And his love interest in it is Erica Christensen.
Oh my gosh.
Great flick. They have 7 minutes in heaven.
Oh my gosh.
In like this room. I just remember being absolutely fascinated by that scene where they make out.
So Mia has now accepted 3 things on Saturday.
What an idiot.
So she goes to Michael. She completely forgets about Lily's. She goes to Michael and she says, can we reschedule? And he's obviously heartbroken, but he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And she goes to this beach thing with Josh, and it was all a ruse to get...
His sailboat's name is The Josher.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even notice that. It was all a ruse to get some media coverage, because all the while, all these media outlets and paparazzi have been following Mia around to try to, you know, catch her doing things that are bad. So she's at the beach. She's trying to get with this guy, and he knows that there's paparazzi. He's, like, calling paparazzi.
Yeah.
Mandy Moore, who plays the main bad mean girl, who we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah.
She and her two little twinsies are running around trying to ruin everything as well and trying to get paparazzi. And they're saying, Mia's my best friend. And then they're stealing her clothes and making her appear naked to the press or... You know, whatever they're doing. Mandy Moore, can we just talk about this for a second? Mandy Moore, I think she's fantastic. I hope in real life that she's this kind. I'm sure she is kind, generous human being. And I like when she plays roles like that. However, Mandy Moore excels at being a bitch.
Yeah.
She is so good at being the mean girl.
Hey.
It's so incredible.
Yeah, she's super good at being a bitch. And she's super, super good at being wholesome. Very versatile. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that she and Heather are both in Saved.
They're both in Saved, but they both play similar characters to what they do in this one.
Correct. That's interesting.
Is this good? Yes, very much so.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Anyway, so Mandy Moore plays Lana. I think her name is Lana, and she is so horrible, and she does such a good job at it. So yeah. Mandy, thank you.
And what does she sing at the beach party?
Stupid Cupid, you're a real cool guy. Stupid Cupid, stop getting mommy. Oh my god, she like performs with her two friends. Oh my gosh, she's the best character. She's the best character in this movie.
I disagree, but I think she's great.
They also have a bunch of midriffs. Her and her friends are always wearing matching midriff outfits, which is so good.
Correct.
Now,
I want to say... what are you going to say? I'm
trying to talk about the fucking beach party.
Okay, sorry.
Fuck.
Okay.
So, Mia wants to have her first kiss.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
At this beach party. And she wants it to be... Obviously, she's expecting it to be with Josh. Mm-hmm. And they're in all these different areas, and at one point they're in a beach shed.
Yeah, because the helicopter paparazzi shows up.
Right, the helicopter paparazzi shows up, so they go and hide in the shed, and they're just kind of like sitting there waiting for the coast to be clear.
Literally.
And Josh goes, how about a foot rub? And she goes, oh my god, that'd be amazing here. And he meant himself.
Yeah.
So he puts his foot on her, and I just really needed to know if there was any world in which someone is on a first date with somebody, any age, doesn't have to be teen, where the guy goes, how about a foot rub? That just creeps me right out, didn't it?
Well, he obviously has no respect for her.
He obviously has a lot of problems.
Entitlement issues.
Yes, ma'am.
While you bring that scene up, Mia mentions to her mom before this beach party that she wants to have her first kiss, and she wants her foot to pop.
Correct.
And so when she attempts to kiss Josh in the shed, her foot gets caught in a fishing net, and it cannot pop. Now, when I watched this as an 11-year-old girl, I thought to myself, oh, interesting. I don't really understand what it means to have your foot pop, but maybe someday I'll understand that.
Do you understand?
No.
Have you ever popped your foot?
I can't think of a time where I have popped my foot. Have you ever popped your foot?
No, certainly not.
I've popped my foot because I've dated tall people and I can't quite reach them.
But
so
what
I'm
is your yeah? But your foot's not popping.
Well, I'm on my tippy toes. Sometimes for extra leverage, I pop my foot up. But it's not a.
It's not a right angle.
It's not like a.
It's just
horny
lifted.
Reaction or something. That's basically what she's saying, isn't she?
Yeah, it's like a boner. It's her leg boner.
She hopes that the kiss is so good that she gets a leg boner. Which, sweetie, Mia, sweetie, you're not going to have a good kiss your first time.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God,
heavens
are you not?
Heavens no.
Heavens no. It was
not
the
even
worst in the world.
Second or third or fourth, in my personal opinion. Honestly, oh, I don't man. Even think I even had a good kiss until I was, like, in my early 20s.
Oh, 100%.
Because when I was a teenager, I was just, like, doing it because I was just supposed to be doing it. And I was, like, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't particularly enjoy it.
No, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I didn't know which way was up.
But it seemed like a lot of my friends knew what was going on.
They knew which way was up, but I certainly didn't.
Why didn't we?
Carly, why the heck? I'm so upset we weren't friends in high school.
I know.
I'm so upset we didn't go to the same high school because it would have been so funny. Like, I don't know. Though, I don't think a lot of my friends really knew either, but.
My friends did. They really did. My friends were very advanced. They were.
I know they were. I'm just laughing at how you said it. My friends kind of were, I guess. It wasn't that they weren't, but it was just that, I don't know. I can't even explain it. I don't, to be fair, the people that they were kissing, I don't think they were kissing them good.
Oh, to be young again.
No, thank God. Oh, man. I remember. And remember when you would, like, kiss someone and it was, I mean, I don't know if this happened to you, but for me, it happened one time. Like, when I kissed someone, it was the one and only kiss I ever had with that person.
Same.
And,
same.
Right.
I don't think I had a second kiss with the same person until my early 20s.
Me neither. Oh. And I remember, like, that. So when you have that kiss with that one kiss with that one person and it's never to happen again, I didn't realize it wasn't going to ever happen again. And it would be my obsession for 2 weeks.
Same.
And it would never happen again. So it was my obsession with no outcome. Yeah. In high school for me, the one person I kissed, two people that I kissed, both scenarios were very, very different, but it was very much the first one I was like, oh, this is who I'm going to marry now.
Right.
And then I forget what it was. I truly don't remember, but I actually got something happened where I think I got too nervous, honestly.
Yeah.
And I started to be pretty rude and back out of I'm not talking about then, like that was it. I got picked up from my dad. That's moved on. But then as the days continued, he wanted to hang out again. And I was like, and I kind of chickened out and started being rude. Then he hooked up with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got real angry.
Yeah.
So that one ended quickly because of that. But the other one, it was a drunken, on his part, I was probably sober, thing. Never spoke to him again. In fact, if I saw him the next day, he'd be like, hi, I'm so-and-so. He wouldn't recognize me. He'd have no idea who I was. So that was my sad high school life.
Yeah, I mean, mine wasn't much better. I was the same as you. I would, like, make out with somebody, and then if they were, like, interested in me still, I would get super nervous about it and be like, I, like, don't know how to go about this at all.
I did the flight or fright, or what is it? Flight or fight. And I did the flight. I would escape that scenario so fast. Even if they were like, I love you, I'd be like, I can't. I'd run away.
See, my whole thing was like, I just wanted basically a relationship through MSN.
Oh, that would have been the dream.
That's where I felt safe, you know?
Right? Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about hand jobs.
You'd have to emoticon it.
Yeah.
Or webcam it, which is even worse.
Oh, we all know about my webcam experience with my crack. Boy ass. To flash him on webcam, and I showed him just the top crack of my butt.
Oh,
just
my.
The tiniest part. And I thought that was very sexy of me. And in retrospect,
it was.
It was.
Oh my God.
What would you do if, like, a guy on webcam. You were like, show me, like show me something. And he just showed you just the slightest crack of his butt.
That's how Mike and I met.
On chat roulette.
On chat roulette. On a webcam that's a little, like, you know those webcams that were like a little ball?
Yeah.
And it, you had to, like, attach it to your computer and, like, it clipped on the top. Yeah. Oh, man. Man, I miss that.
I know.
Now it's, like, included in my computer and the internet is watching me at all times.
And Putin is watching us.
Hi, Putin.
Hi, Putin. okay. Well, let's see here.
I got to tell you something. Mm-hmm. That was my last note.
All right. Well, that's fine. I just have to point out that my whole sort of life growing up until, I don't know, maybe, I probably haven't heard it in probably 5 years or so, but I used to be told all the time that I look like Anne Hathaway, to the point where my friend's mom posted a video on my Facebook saying, great interview of someone interviewing Anne Hathaway. I thought it was a joke. I was like, haha, good one. Only to find out she literally thought that was me being interviewed. I was very concerned for this woman.
Yeah, I'm concerned for her because I really don't think you look anything like her.
Well, it's not just that. It's like my voice is different. I'm not a famous person.
You're not on Conan O'Brien randomly.
I was like, pardon? Like, have you like lived in a cave this whole life of yours? The point is, I used to work at a mini golf place. It was like one of the best jobs in the world for one summer. And this little girl came up to me at the end and her dad said to me, so-and-so thinks that you're Princess Diaries. And so she was like looking at me with like these eyes of like adoration. And she was like, are you Princess Diaries?
Why are you saying Princess Diaries like that? That's what she called you?
Yeah, she didn't say Mia Thermopolis. She's like four. She's okay. Like, are you the Princess Diaries? And I was like, oh, that's so nice. But no, I just work here and I just, you know.
You should have said yes.
I was like, I just work at a golf place. And then her dad's like, do you still want a picture with her? And she was like, no. I was like, damn it, I should have said yes.
You should have said yes. What's the right thing to do in that scenario? If it's a kid, if it's an adult, okay, you say, no, I'm not so-and-so. But if it's a kid, like, do you just do it and say?
I don't know. I would have felt weird to be like, why, yes, I'm a princess.
It's one of my favorite things in the world, finding ones on the internet where someone's like, it's me and Ed Sheeran, and it's just a ginger person. And they genuinely went up to this person and are like, oh my God, can I have a picture with you? And of course, this person's like, yeah, and does it. And it's so funny.
I know. It's weird. Like, when I was in New York City, I was climbing the Statue of Liberty, and this man at the top in the crown of the Statue of Liberty was like, are you Anna Kendrick? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so flattered, but no. He's like, prove it. Let me see your Instagram. Prove it.
Oh.
And he got like super aggressive and I was like, okay, this was fun. I'm going back down.
Did you
Lady
prove
Liberty.
It? Did you prove it?
He like followed me for a bit and I was like very weirded out.
So the beach party, she realizes he's a dickaroony.
Yeah.
So she realizes what she's done and she has to go apologize to Michael and she apologizes to Lily and Lily does, I think she does a really good job at accepting her apology. She's angry and
admits to being jealous.
Yeah. And they get along real good. That's great.
Yeah.
Then it's the night of the ball where she has to reveal whether she's going to be a princess or not.
Yeah.
And she's going to run away. She tells Joe that she's going to get a ride from her mom, and she tells her mom she's going to get a ride from Joe. Classic. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's going to run away. But she happens to find a letter that her dad wrote to her before he died for her 16th birthday.
Yeah, I was confused. Where did the diary come from? Did the diary come from Grandma?
What diary?
You know, she unlocks the diary, and that's where the letter falls out of.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Okay, carry on.
Oh, yeah, I guess there should be a diary somewhere, seeing it's called Princess Diaries.
Oh, yeah. I never really thought
about
that.
I've never thought about the title. It has never crossed my mind.
It's because the diary has nothing to do with the movie, really.
Yeah, but like, so then why is it called The Princess Diaries?
I have no idea.
Well, anyway.
Anyways.
So this letter falls out of a diary, whatever. And it's from the dad saying, well, I don't even know what it says. But he says, blah, 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 I'm a prince and you're a princess and you should do what you want. You're a good person. So she decides she's got to go do this. So it's pouring rain. She's in her Mustang that the top won't go up. It's San Francisco. She can't get up the hill. She gets to the place. She's soaking wet.
Yeah.
She goes up to what we think is she's going to say, I can't do this.
Yeah.
But she goes up and says, I'm Amelia Genovia. Princess.
Thermopolis.
Thermopolis.
Princess.
Of Genovia.
Of Genovia.
And then Michael shows up. He's there to support.
But why does Michael show up? It's because she sends him a pizza.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That has the word sorry as toppings of, like, M&M toppings.
Because
on them.
Earlier he loves M&Ms.
Right. He's, like, playing. He has M&Ms all over his keyboard while he's playing.
Yeah,
it's very,
very,
dirty.
Very unsanitary.
It's gross. But it's the most disgusting-looking pizza. There's no other toppings besides the M&M's that say sorry. Like, she totally cheaped out.
Yeah.
She doesn't even give them toppings. Not even cheese. There's not even cheese.
Yeah,
it's just sauce.
It looks so gross. However, I appreciate the sentiment. Anyway, he shows up. She accepts to be a princess. And they're outside. And they kiss. And her foot does a pop.
It pops so big that
it pops so big and strong.
It hits the lever.
The lever to the sprinklers and lights of the entire palace.
Garden. Yeah.
And everything becomes beautiful. Life is good again.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a great movie. It made me laugh throughout.
I loved it.
It made me so happy. What would you rate it?
I would rate this movie an 8.3.
I would rate this movie a 9.8 because I would watch it over and over again.
Good.
It's just so good.
Did you relate to anybody?
I rated to Mr. Robitussin, who was the
neighbor
who like hates. Actually, I think you should be him because he's a writer. And he keeps, like, everything they do, he's this, like, sour next-door neighbor who, like, hates everything about this family. And every time they do something, he goes, he wallowed in self-pity. And just, like, makes up some new story about his shitty life.
He was a funny character.
He was great.
I don't feel like I'm suffering from clinical depression.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad. I probably related most to the best friend.
Lily?
I get jealous a lot. I would have loved to have a TV cable show.
Yeah, that's true. You actually, that makes sense. I'm actually very attracted to Jeremiah, which is Lily's boyfriend in this.
Mm.
Or friend? I don't know.
Well, they imply that they'll
eventually bang.
Some point.
Eventually get an HJ. Yeah, I don't know if I related too much to many people.
I think I know who you relate to.
Tell me.
Mrs. Gupta.
Did you know that I used to answer the phone like her to my friends? Gupta.
Sandra Oh plays the principal.
And she answers
and
the phone.
And she's Mrs.
Gupta. Yeah, and so she answers the phone and goes, Gupta. And I thought that was the funniest thing.
She's so good.
Allie was calling or something, I'd just be like, Gupta.
I'm going to do that now. Only to you, though. No one else would. Or to Michael.
I would love it. If I ever call you, I don't call you very often.
We never call each other.
But if I do, can you please answer?
Yes.
Do it.
Gupta.
No, that's not quite it.
Gupta.
That's getting there.
Is it too slow? Is it not? What do you want me to do?
Gupta. It's more serious. You're too, like, happy about
it.
I
can't. Don't look at me. You're not going to see me on the phone. Gupta.
That was the worst one. You have to be angry, kind of. Gupta.
Can't. Gupta. I can't do it.
Yeah, you're not very good at it. Okay. Also, we didn't really talk too much about the grandma.
Who cares?
I know. She's phenomenal in this movie. She's great. She's heartfelt, all that stuff. But my favorite line of hers is, goodbye, trolley people.
Yeah, it's so good.
Because they hit a streetcar. And so when she's leaving them, all the people that are on the streetcar thing.
Goodbye, trolley people. It's so good.
It's cute.
So who's so our cute. Weekly crush this week?
The only song I can think, the only song, the only person I could think of who has been my crush now for quite some time, his name is Nick Offerman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I've heard him on various podcasts and seen him on various TV shows, talk shows, and I just think his personality is A+.
That's wonderful.
Who is your crush?
I think my weekly crush right now is a combination of Jerry Seinfeld
and
Ricky Gervais.
Are you watching Comedians in Cars?
I'm watching Comedians in Cars right now, and the episode with Ricky Gervais made me laugh so hard because, and I won't get into it because I think you just all should watch it, but basically Jerry says something that's very inappropriate for TV, and they spend the rest of the episode discussing whether it should be kept in.
I forgot about that. That part's really
funny. It's so funny, and it reminds me a lot of things we do, because often we're saying things and then we go on about it for 20 minutes and then we go, we should take that out. And then we end up taking it out.
To end this episode, would you like to give us the Genovia official Genovian anthem?
Did you write that down for me to do at the end?
Yes.
Okay. The land I call my home, Genovia, Genovia.